Hello, this is Pastor Pete Beck III with LifeNet in Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome to today's podcast entitled, Countering Deception by Answering Life's Crucial Questions. Why am I here? This series examines how the Bible answers life's greatest questions, and in so doing, it gives us purpose and clarity for life. It also protects us from being swept away by dangerous ideas that lead to death and destruction. I write from the perspective of a longtime Christian pastor and teacher, as well as a father and a husband. So I will apply these principles to the church. They apply just as perfectly to government, family, business, and or personal life. In the first article, I gave an overview of the series. The second one dealt with origins, and the third asked and answered the question, who are we? This one delves into our purpose for living, which is provided by God in the following verses. Let me read Genesis 1:28 and Genesis 2:15. And God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Then the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The basic purpose of humankind can be summarized in 3 points. Multiply, take dominion, and tend the garden. These commands were specific to Adam's and Eve's situation, but a case can be made that they are still in effect since there is no record that God anywhere rescinded them. The garden should now be understood as the entire earth in which we live, tainted as it is by sin and the long-term effect of our living here. These purposes apply to every human being in a practical and natural way. They also apply directly to the mission of the church. Jesus summarized our purpose a little differently by giving us 2 commands, which I summarize. Love God and love our neighbor. Luke 10:27. These commandments provide the environment in which we fulfill the Genesis mandates. The very first command God delivered to man was to be fruitful and multiply, which makes it our enduring top priority. This command was restated after the flood in Genesis 9:1. The earth then and now needs to be populated. The Great Commission restated this foundational command after Jesus' resurrection. Go and make disciples is another way of saying be fruitful and multiply. The earth now desperately needs to be populated with born-again believers who seek first God's kingdom and righteousness. The ungodly world system in which we live argues that we should not obey God's command to be fruitful and multiply. Here are a few of its reasons. First, there are already too many people. If we don't cut back on births, the earth will be overpopulated, which will usher in many calamities such as starvation. This one is fostered by the scientific community and the media to scare people into compliance. Number 2, children are too expensive. We cannot afford to have kids. This one is used by young couples who value money more than family as a justification of not having children. 3, the world is too evil to bring children into it. Compassion for the not yet born prohibits our having children. This is especially used to justify abortion. It is better to kill a child in the womb than to allow it to be born into an unhealthy environment. 4, children are just too much trouble. They keep us from pursuing our priorities in life. This is another justification for abortion. I cannot let a child ruin my plans. Since this series is somewhat philosophical, this is a good time to ask ourselves, what false presuppositions are contained in the above arguments against God's command to be fruitful and multiply? The first one is that the earth cannot sustain a very large population. Those areas that experience starvation usually have corrupt governments and or false religious beliefs that prevent the population from enjoying the produce of the land. For example, Haiti dedicated the island to Satan following the overthrow of the French government there many years ago. What used to be called the Jewel of the Caribbean has been reduced to a poverty-stricken island by decades of government tyranny and corruption. On the positive side, the USA curtails production and throws away large amounts of food. Our nation could supply food to many other countries. Other areas of the world also produce prolific harvests and could supply a much greater population. If God said we should fill the earth, then the earth is able to support a huge number of people. The second false presupposition is that God is unable to supply the needs of large families. The Bible does not adhere to a zero-sum version of economics, which believes there is a limited amount of supply. God will create supply out of thin air if needed. Faith must guide our decisions, not fear of lack. The third false presupposition is that keeping children out of the world because it's an evil place has to be our priority. This has to come from the devil himself. The world has always been evil. We bring children into it so they can effect change as followers of Christ. Lastly, the self-centeredness behind not having children because they're too much trouble is appalling, yet this excuse has led to countless abortions. Children have always required a lot of work and definitely limit our freedoms, but that is part of growing to maturity. Because of our inherent rebellion against God, Western nations have embraced abortion, birth control, fear, unbelief, and a self-centered lifestyle in direct defiance of God's command to be fruitful and multiply. Think about that. Many nations in the West now teeter on the brink of cultural viability because of low birth rates. The world will eventually go to those groups which are still having large numbers of children. All of us are influenced by this anti-God mentality. Even churches have adopted variations of these arguments. Consider the following. When we have a large enough church which can provide an ideal level of fellowship, financial viability, social status, and programs, we sometimes lose the desire to sacrifice in order to go make disciples. We would rather stay and enjoy the fellowship. Second, we invest most of our finances in maintaining the building, programs, staff, and operational cost of maintaining the church plant instead of spending time, energy, and money on pursuing the Great Commission. Third, rather than put our people at risk by asking them to immerse themselves in lifestyle evangelism and connecting with broken, unsaved people, we prefer the safety of the Christian fortress called the church. We also devise so many programs for our members, they are worn out and have little time for pursuing the Great Commission, even if they were willing to take the risks of associating with unsafe people. Finally, missional living is just too much trouble. It's far easier to contribute money or volunteer to serve in crisis intervention programs than to get heavily involved in the lives of people who have untold needs and will make unanticipated demands on my time and finances. Only by prioritizing the Great Commission will the church become the missional force that God intends. Taking dominion and tending the garden. Taking dominion and tending the garden are also important commands. If the multiplied people on the earth and in our churches are to enjoy a good quality of life, we will have to control and tend the environment. Through the process of being fruitful, taking dominion and working, people grow to maturity. If we leave even one of these parts out, it can short-circuit the process. Young men and women usually enter marriage with little maturity. Usually it is only after marriage and having children that we truly grow up because of added pressures and responsibilities. Why would we think it would be any different in the church? Taking dominion always needs to be balanced by the command to tend the garden. In the spiritual context, taking dominion involves learning to identify with Christ's victory and the internal work of the Holy Spirit in a way that allows us to be victorious over our sin nature, sin, Satan, sickness, legalism, death, and the demonic. Basically, anything that seeks to enslave or destroy God's people must be brought into subjection to Christ through our faith in God's promises. 1 John 5:4. We can also tend the garden by reaching out into our communities to bring needed change from the aspect of God's word. Unless we learn to take dominion, we will not be able to properly tend and protect or keep the garden called the church. Tending the garden means caring for the sheep. This includes protecting, feeding, guiding, equipping, and launching them into ministry. All of this is called discipleship. Conclusion. When we make multiplication for church members, the Great Commission, our top priority, everything else falls into place. When young married couples have children, they learn to give their lives away for others. Having children, natural or spiritual disciples, changes our lives in a most fundamental and rewarding way. In old age, there is no greater joy than being with our offspring, especially if they are in unity and serving the Lord, and seeing what they're doing in life and ministry. Late in Paul's life, he rejoiced in his own spiritual children when he wrote in Philippians 4:1, "Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord, dear friends." We should not rejoice if our children never leave home. Rather, our job as parents is to prepare them to leave the nest in order to start their own families. This is how we fulfill the command to be fruitful and multiply at the family level. The church likewise must think in terms of launching people to start their own church families, which will reproduce over time. This can be done at a small group level or at a much larger church level. Let's make the Great Commission our top priority so that we, like Paul, can rejoice in our spiritual children and grandchildren, disciples of disciples. Let's make God's first priority from creation onward our first priority and watch how everything else falls into place. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you."